fellow travellers, and welcome to podcast 163 in our series, You Should Have Been There, with me, Simon Calder.
And me, Mick Webb. And today, we're going to be shining a light on travel delays and the often bewildering reasons and excuses given by the airlines and train operators to explain their inability to comply with their scheduled timetables. My last, and I thought at the time, rather bizarre delay was on the 8th of June at Edenbridge Station, just over the border from Surrey in Kent. And we were advised that due to animals on the railway between Uckfield and Hurst Green, the line towards Oxted was blocked. But what were those animals? Intriguing as much as irritating, particularly as the original announcement just said between Edenbridge and London, and this led to some amusing speculation amongst us waiting travellers as to whether some guy suggested that maybe some animals had escaped from Regent's Park Zoo and sort of made their way to London Bridge. I'm not sure that he'd done a geography degree. But anyway, this kind of thing is much more frequent than you might think.
It certainly is, and I bring you from, let's say Storm Eunice. You might remember the last really big storm to batter the UK. It wasn't livestock on the line, it was trampolines. And what happens is people have, particularly in leafy places like Edenbridge, they have a trampoline in the back garden to amuse the young children, maybe sometimes even the old adults. And what happens is the winds get up, they lift these things and these things fly around and end up blocking the track at Edenbridge Station, or indeed even Edenbridge Town Station there being two. So wrong kind of wind, wrong kind of trampoline. And of course, we are the country that brought to the world the wrong kind of snow. And just to remind you how that happened, it was a winter probably of discontent, and this was just in the dying days of British Rail, and they'd ordered some new kit, which was supposed to, new trains, which were supposed to survive snowstorms. But apparently the snow that fell in this particularly wintry episode had a too small a diameter, and it got through all the defences, and it was officially the wrong kind of snow. But of course, we also bring you leaves on the line every autumn, and that's a absolute regular, and very good to be able to come up with all manner of excuses. And by the way, I will also be bringing you later on when your flight is most likely to be delayed, and also, of course, why it's really important to know what the cause of the delay is. But more of that shortly.
Well, let me give some fact and substance to the leaves on the line. According to an article in the Daily Mirror last summer, train operators blamed leaves on the line for more than 3,000 hours of delays in the previous 4 years. And in that same time, this lame excuse, much derided by commuters, of course, was trotted out nearly 2,500 times, affecting 35,000 journeys. Simon, why does this continue to happen?
Well, it is very simply a function of the way that British Railways are organised, and I dare say it's been going back to 1825 and the world's first public railway between Stockton and Darlington, coming up for the 200th anniversary, of course, a great occasion for railway fans. But yes, it's been going on for quite a long time, and effectively, the UK has rails which are very often in wooded areas. They get covered in leaves, the leaves kind of disintegrate, leave this mulch, ultimately you haven't got the adhesion that you need for steel rails on steel tracks, and you need to allow extra time for more gentle acceleration, more gentle braking. And some train operators, Great Northern for instance, bring in special leaf fall timetables to cope with exactly these problems.
Ah, well, I know as well that there are special leaf cleaning trains, because Leah Hampton a few years ago sent a tweet highlighting the best excuse ever from Southwest Trains for a delay: broken down leaf cleaning train, which is delaying everything. Embarrassing.
We've also got extremes of heat, and this is very relevant at the moment. But you'll recall that in July 2022, when the UK experienced record temperatures, they had to go around and paint lots of rails white to reduce the heat on them. And even then, we had lines buckling all over the place, and effectively at least half of the rail network shut down as a result of the wrong kind of temperature.
Yes, and there is on record that in January 2016, when you wouldn't really have expected an extreme heat, there was indeed strong sunshine. And it may be hard to believe that, given how freezing cold it was at the time, passengers at Lewisham Station in southeast London found that their journeys were disrupted due to the strong sunshine.
I can even come up with a reason why that is not an unreasonable excuse. Okay, so it's January, the sun is very low in the sky. If you are driving, particularly in Kent, which is where this happened, on Southeastern line from Charing Cross and Cannon Street, then you are quite a lot of the time, particularly in the morning, going to be driving directly into the strong sunshine. And if you can't see very clearly the signals, you have to travel more slowly. So, yes, all these things can combine, and I would count that as a perfectly valid excuse.
But shouldn't it really have been delays due to driver forgetting sunglasses?
I think even the finest sunglasses would find it difficult to help out a driver, because they do have to distinguish the colours on the signals, and if the sun is shining directly at you, that's always going to be an issue.
Fair play. What about slippery rain? Have you ever come upon that one? Because I did see it mentioned somewhere.
No, I've not heard of that. I mean, because of the very antiquated so-called third rail system that the southern part of the UK uses for its railways, and that was a kind of early form of electrification, that very often has problems in winter, because the shoe, as it's called, can't make proper contact with it. And honestly, it is a really antiquated system. Therefore, most countries have overhead wires, and even then, when it's windy, you can get a plastic bag caught there, and that's going to shut everything down too. So yes, it's if your train ever arrives on time, regard it as a cause of celebration.
We should definitely add that to our list of travel miracles. Train leaves on time and arrives at its destination on time. Now, earlier I mentioned animals on the line, and though I haven't got any figures for this impediment to travel, I did find a BBC article about an entertaining example that occurred in Kent again, when up to 60 cattle were spotted walking along the track and going into a tunnel between the stations of Hever and Ashurst. Network Rail said it closed all the lines while animals were escorted onto the platform at Hever Railway Station. And then it said that the cows had now been removed and were safely back in the fields, though trains between Oxted and Uckfield, oh dear, Oxted again, were cancelled or delayed by up to 30 minutes. But the funny bit about this is that traveller Francesca Ryan tweeted a picture of the herd of cows on the platform at Hever, waiting patiently like commuters for the 8:07, all in line with their heads all facing the same way, with the caption, holy cow. And she went on to say, I was pretty shocked, as it's not the normal view when waiting for your train. It really is a brilliant photo. I recommend it. Heaver, cows on platform. And it's like a real life Magritte, I would venture to suggest.
All sorts of other animals, of course, are available for delaying trains, swans, llamas, and any manner of other foreign object debris, as it's known when things get into the wrong places, whether on railways or on runways. And I was on a French train, a TGV, the other day, and I couldn't quite understand what the cause was. This was the announcement. Notre TGV arrive en gare de Grenoble avec un retard d'environ 5 minutes, et ce, en raison de la présence d'un bagage abandonné. Mick, as with so many things, you are better than me at French. So what was all that about?
Ah, well, you were the victim of unidentified luggage at Lyon station. And even if the French can manage snow and leaves better than us, and I think they probably can, the principal reason for the retard de TGV, the delays on the TGV in France, which they do take very seriously, because I think you actually get money back for quite small delays, don't you?
Well, I like the French system of handing back money. I remember, and this was actually slightly before the internet became wholly dominant, I would regularly travel on trains in France. There would regularly be a delay, and there would regularly, when you finally arrived at your destination, be smiling SNCF staff handing out les enveloppes, the envelopes into which you put your tickets and your address, and you sent it off, and they sent you some money. And I've actually know that I've bought you a train ticket with the vouchers that I got sent from catastrophically long delay or other.
Well, that's the way to do things, isn't it? And Simon, I can reliably inform you that over the last 3 years, the number of instances of abandoned luggage or unidentified luggage has actually trebled in volume, until it's actually become the main reason for TGVs and intercity trains being delayed. That's not one that seems to crop up so much here, is it? Is it because we've got so many other good excuses?
Yeah, it is partly. Actually, if you look at the West Coast Main Line, and this is one reason they're building at great expense, High Speed 2, you have got scheduled trains travelling at 125 miles, leaving every 3 minutes. And that doesn't give you very much scope if one of them is a minute or so late, because the signalling means that it all unravels quite quickly. So yes, we got too many trains, and actually they've solved part of the problem for constant delays in the area of central Manchester between Piccadilly and Oxford Road station, simply by cutting down the number of trains. So they're not so late, but there's fewer of them, and therefore they are much more crowded.
Ah, yes. So, right, I see what you mean. So you sort of traded a certain confidence that you will get somewhere with incredible lack of comfort while you're doing it.
Exactly, yes. So it's a constant battle. The rail industry here, as in France, really does want you to arrive on time, but there's an awful lot of things that can go wrong between you and your final destination.
Well, let's get on to delays to flights, which I know is one of your special subjects. And last week you mentioned a very fine example of an excuse for a flight being delayed in Russia because the caterers had been arrested.
Yes, and apparently there was also no in-flight meal either, which is possibly not a surprise. I've had so many, Mick, and I'm sure you have too. In Quito, in Ecuador, I was on a little domestic flight, which at the time were very cheap and very efficient, run by the Ecuadorian military, as was sort of the custom in a lot of South American countries. And we pushed back on time, and it was all very good, and we got out towards the runway, and then suddenly we stopped trying to take off and went back to the terminal to pick up some high-ranking Air Force officials. I don't think anybody apologized. You own the airline, you call the shots.
Well, we were sent a tweet by the appropriately named Chocks Away, who reports, once delayed out of Dakar while a rat that had boarded from the catering truck was chased off. Needless to say, there was no catering anyway on the short Dakar to Delhi sector.
I wonder if the caterers were arrested for on hygiene grounds with the rat.
I wonder
there.
If the rat was arrested. And I suppose the kind of the culmination of unpleasant things on planes is the famous snakes. You haven't ever had any brushes with those, have you?
Not as far as I know, but I have had some delays. And poor old Emirates, giant airline, of course, with giant planes, seems to have some problems, particularly in July. For example, just this weekend, the normal Emirates flight from Dubai to London ended up trying to land twice at Heathrow, but there's the wrong kind of wind, and it went off to Glasgow. And I had an even weirder story than that, if I may. So the basic delay, which was just flying from Dubai to London on a Sunday afternoon, very straightforward. It was too hot, and with record temperatures in Europe, well, you have to get used to the fact that this could become something of a feature. If the air is too hot, it's too thin, which means that the takeoff characteristics of the aircraft are challenged. So we waited for an hour on the ground at Dubai in a quite warm aircraft while a ton of cargo was unloaded. That was taken off, and we duly took off. Then we landed at Heathrow, as expected. What happened next was not expected at all. Instead of just going to the normal sort of Terminal 3 gate and getting off the plane an hour early, we went to a strange corner of the airfield, and the captain said, I'm terribly sorry about this, but there's been a bit of a problem. We were late out of Dubai. Our operations room in Dubai decided that we weren't going to be able to get into Heathrow and drop off you lot and get the next lot on and still get out before the curfew at Heathrow. So they took the decision to send all the staff and all the passengers to Gatwick, which is where we're supposed to be. But unfortunately, nobody told us. So we've landed here. And we're going to be on the ground for about an hour because we've got to refuel. And then we're going to fly you to Gatwick. So quite a lot of consternation at this. Anyway, we took off for what was supposed to be a 15-minute flight to Gatwick. 45 minutes later, we were still circling above Gatwick Airport because there was a Thomas Cook plane, this was a few years ago, blocking the runway because it landed with faulty hydraulics. Anyway, they finally cleared it. And I learned later we were 2 minutes away from being diverted to Manchester. Anyway, instead of arriving at sort of 9 o'clock in the evening at Heathrow, finally landed at Gatwick at about one in the morning.
Well, my son had an experience a week or so ago, which I think might actually be instructive. So I will tell you about it. It's not particularly dramatic. He was delayed by more than 3 hours flying back from Sardinia to Gatwick, according to EasyJet, in the letter that they sent him explaining why they weren't going to give him any compensation for this, was that widespread thunderstorms across much of the United Kingdom, particularly in southern parts of the UK, caused air traffic control restrictions, which substantially regulated the airspace. This resulted in long delays to flights as aircraft waited for airspace slots to operate, sometimes for several hours. These caused crew to run out of their legal hours to operate, and also push flights into night curfews at numerous airports. This widespread disruption unfortunately impacted your flight. Blah, blah, blah. Do you think it would be fair to say methinks the airline doth protest too much?
Well, look, this is a very, very, very expensive business for the airlines, and which is why EasyJet in particular does come up with some quite elaborate excuses. And it's also why I've been looking quite closely at the causes of delay for an entire summer and what caused them and so on. But in that particular case, yes, it's true that there is weather. Yes, it's true that there's air traffic control restrictions, particularly this summer. But the airline needs to demonstrate that there was a direct correlation between those factors and your flight. And even then, I think a good lawyer would say, well, hang on, you've been flying out of Gatwick for years. I'm assuming this was Gatwick, because that's where many of the problems tend to be. You really ought to put in place more resilience. And of course, EasyJet have just cancelled 1,700 flights, affecting 180,000 passengers. But that's because Gatwick is special. And I can actually tell you how special Gatwick is. So the blunt statistics, and I'm going back here to the International Air Transport Association figures published in December 2019, before we'd even heard of COVID, because that was the last solid summer where you can actually make some proper inferences from the figures and in terms of what all the delays were and where the worst delays were, and even the time of day of the worst delays. So let me tell you that if you want a quick countdown of the most delayed departure airports in that crucial summer, July, August, September 2019, well, I'm going to give you a bit of a pick of the pops rundown. In 10th place, Barcelona. Number 9, Heraklion on the beautiful Greek island of Crete. In 8th place, it's Porto, the second city of Portugal, of course. A second appearance for Spain at number 7 with Palma de Mallorca. At number 6, it's the first British entry. This is Birmingham, closely followed at number 5 by Luton Airport. Well, Spain gets in there again at number 4 with Ibiza. And then at number 3, Milan Malpensa. Oh. Making an appearance. Number 2 is Lisbon, so not great for the Portuguese airlines, but absolutely towering at the top of the table, it is London Gatwick. And I can even give you the 10 most delayed routes for that summer, and almost all of them involve Gatwick. So it's Gatwick, Barcelona, Palma to Gatwick, Barcelona to Gatwick, Gatwick to Dublin, it goes on. There we are. Gatwick's not a great, it's the busiest runway in the world. So when things go tango uniform, they go worst of all at Gatwick.
Well, maybe we should all rethink any plans we have to travel from Lisbon to Gatwick and back again, and try and find some other route. But can I just go back to my son's case? Because he was actually told on the day by EasyJet staff that the reason the plane was late arriving in Sardinia, I think it was at Olbia, this, of course, triggered all the other latenesses, was that they'd missed their takeoff slot from the outgoing airport, which I think was probably Gatwick, but I don't know. So in a way, they'd kind of brought it all on themselves. But EasyJet have already thought of this and said that their assessment and legal team have carefully reviewed my son's claim, and he's not eligible for compensation. The information that we have just given you may not match with the information you were given on the day of travel, as our staff in airports and on board may not have had all the information concerning your restrictions. And I kind of would like to sort of suggest that there's another way of looking at that, which is our spin doctors and legal eagles haven't had a chance to look at all of this and come up with a way of trying to save as much money and compensation as we possibly can.
Well, yes, and that is the crucial thing, because if your flight is delayed by 3 hours or more on arrival, or indeed it is cancelled altogether, then the assumption is that the airline will pay you cash compensation unless it can come up with what's called extraordinary circumstances, i.e. blaming it on something it couldn't possibly have known about. But I've been going through, there may be 50 ways to leave your lover, but there's at least 100 different causes of delays that, according to the International Air Transport Association, I can bring you some of them. So cabin crew shortage, sickness, awaiting standby, flight time limitations, that's when the crew run out of hours, crew meals, valid visa, or presumably an invalid visa, health documents, etc. Then you move on to stuff that happens. So collisions at the airport, not in the air, thankfully. Damage when loading or offloading, and contamination, whatever that might be. And then all sorts of other things. A lack of a follow me vehicle. That's when you are either taxiing to the runway or leaving the runway. There should be a big bright yellow vehicle with a flashing light and a sign saying follow me. And so the plane may just have to wait while that is, while the follow me vehicle is sourced. Night noise abatement, night curfew, referred to obliquely by EasyJet there. And then finally, lost flight plan by air traffic control. And also, right, between July and September, the average flight left 15 minutes late. Okay, but only half of flights were delayed, approximately. And the if your flight was delayed, then that immediately went to an average of 30 minutes, if you see what I mean. One other fine detail, which I enjoyed, was that the amount that the airlines buffer by, i.e. they allow more time than it actually takes, and the average was 4.5 minutes. So if you took off half an hour late, you would probably arrive at the gate 25 and a half minutes late.
So presumably they can then announce that they have made up time, or
Oh yes, they certainly do, and that's sort of built into the schedule. And I've also been able to ascertain the time of day when your flight is most likely to be delayed and the time when it is least likely to be delayed. Okay, and you're not going to enjoy it. So the worst time of day to depart is 9 p.m. and that's because you've got all these delays building up during the day. And I've been on, I think, a flight scheduled for 9:30 out of Stansted on Ryanair, who normally are very, very timely, and that was I think at least an hour late because of all the stuff that had happened in Spain and France. And the best time, because the airlines want to get their very first wave away on time, is 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. So you might feel awful, but you will get to your destination feeling awful, probably on time.
Well, thank you very much, Simon. I will seriously reconsider times of day when I travel and where I travel and how I travel, and maybe I actually just won't bother. However, we would very much like to hear any of your experiences of unusual, bizarre, or ridiculous delays and excuses for them. And I'm also aware of the fact that we haven't even touched on ferries and buses, for which I think there must be as many excuses as there are for trains and planes.
Yes, and the bus driver, when I was travelling from Cusco down to the lowlands of Peru, really didn't need any excuse because there it was, the biggest mudslide you have ever seen, blocking the highway for about 18 hours. But we'd love to hear your delays, and the more bizarre the better, and the implausible excuses that were mounted. Of course, as always, you can tweet us at youshouldhavebt or leave us an audio message at anchor.fm/youshouldhavebeenthere.
So until next week, from me, Mick Webb.
And me, Simon Calder. Goodbye.
Goodbye.